Governor George Wallace of Alabama sprained some ligaments in his right leg late Monday. One of the governor's security men was carrying him to his seat on the Wallace campaign airplane when he apparently lost his footing. Wallace was not badly hurt in the fall. Doctors put a splint on his right leg. Wallace had to curtail some of his activities planned for Tuesday in Florida, but the governor says this will not stop his campaign. The Northeast was hit hard Monday by a storm which included very high winds, snow, and very cold weather. Businesses were hit hard. The New York Stock Exchange opened an hour and 15 minutes late. Tens of thousands of people were without electricity in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Late Monday night, some homes were still without power, especially in Suffolk County, New York, the eastern part of Long Island. Jack Strangfeld of the Long Island Lighting Company had this information.
We have, I would guess, somewhere in the neighborhood of somewhat less than 200 crews out working tonight. We have reduced the number of outages substantially. We're down to about roughly 2,000 throughout the whole system, and most of these are concentrated in the East Suffolk area, which was very, very badly hit by the high winds earlier today.
Strainfeld said at one point Monday, 76,000 homes and offices on Long Island were without power. The House on Tuesday begins debate on whether to lift price controls on natural gas. The Ford administration wants prices decontrolled, saying that will help stimulate production of the scarce fuel. The Senate has already approved a measure to lift price controls on new natural gas. The Society of Professional Journalists, Sigma Delta Chi, has called on Congress to determine the truth to those charges that some American journalists have been working for U.S. intelligence agencies. Sigma Delta Chi President Robert McCord says his organization wants the charges cleared up, saying vague accusations such as these bring the conduct of all journalists into question. Secretary of Agriculture Earl Butz has announced a series of moves to tighten grain inspection procedures. The measures include government checks on American grain after it arrives at foreign ports to see if it meets buyer specifications. Butz acted following a department report charging USDA agencies have acted slowly to foreign complaints of receiving dirty, misgraded, or short-weighted grain from the United States. Now this.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
In the latter part of the 18th century, the son of a well-to-do family was sent off to school with an astonishingly large wardrobe, quite different from today's t-shirts, sneakers, and jeans. I'm Mike Wallace, CBS News. Education and manners in early America are two topics we'll cover on Lifestyles 1776. 30 bicentennial broadcasts the weekend of February 14th and 15th. Interesting insights into life at that time. Lifestyle 1776 on the CBS Radio Network.
In Portland, Oregon, a woman called the local offices of the Internal Revenue Service. She wanted some information from the IRS. Her call was placed on hold for a moment. While waiting, she heard some background music over the phone. The song was Hey Big Spender. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
It could only happen in the Rose City. Three young men reported missing overnight on a climb in the Mount Jefferson Wilderness area in Central Oregon now are reported safe. 21-year-old Jim Ralph, 21-year-old Fred Mazzari, Jr., and 19-year-old Mike Pearson, all of Eugene, were due to return last night. As the Deschutes County Search and Rescue Unit was preparing to start looking for them, one of the trio telephoned Ben today saying they had hiked out after spending the night on the trail. Two East End ramps off the Fremont Bridge will be the topic of discussion, were the topic of discussion at 7:30 tonight in the King School Cafetorium. The problem was a dispute over traffic the ramps would generate in the north and northeast Portland neighborhoods at the east end of the bridge. The alternatives included three build and one no-build propositions, although the no-build was not as simple as it sounded. Labor Commissioner Bill Stevenson predicts the state coordinated apprenticeship and training program can develop in new employment areas such as public service. Stevenson told the Gresham Chamber of Commerce a decline to the state's economic situation resulted in a decline in the apprenticeship program in the last year. Says the Oregon Bureau of Labor staff currently coordinates programs for 4,800 trainees, down about 200 from the previous year. Teachers in Roseburg held a rally at the Douglas County Fairgrounds tonight to drum up support for their strike, which is scheduled to begin tomorrow. Teachers in the Roseburg School District Board disagree over policy regarding the dismissal of probationary teachers. A TriMet official in Portland says motorists and bus drivers are adapting smoothly to drastic changes in the traffic flow in downtown Portland. Roger Shields, who's manager of the project to construct a transit mall, said the smoothness has been, in his words, way beyond our expectations. And getting back to Roseburg, their city council down there has called for bids on a privately owned bus system to operate two or three routes through Roseburg. There's going to be some fog and low clouds tonight, mostly cloudy Tuesday with a chance of rain tomorrow. Lows both nights 30 to 35, highs tomorrow in the upper 30s. Make that the mid-40s. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Mid-40s tomorrow for your high. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with Coin97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, verger of this congregation which celebrates the mysterious and the macabre. Chance, as a learned man once said, may very well be the pseudonym of God when he did not wish to sign his name. And then again, chance may very well be what it appears to be, a random accidental event. And it comes down to the old, old argument. Can our fate be foretold? Is our destiny signed, sealed, and delivered? Or do we have some room to maneuver?
Yes, Mr. Strickland, the Parkhurst Award is a tempting prize. What do I have to do to earn it?
Kill Dr. Spencer.
I don't believe I heard you.
That's the condition.
You, sir, are a maniac. Get out of my office.
I expected you to have this reaction.
At once. I shall have a security guard remove you.
You need time. Time to think, to consider, and to talk yourself into it. I'll see you tomorrow.
If you so much as show your face around here again, I'll...
Oh, are you kidding? You'll welcome me with open arms.
Mystery drama, First Prize Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Allstate Insurance Companies and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build Le Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick Le Sabre, free spirit in the family size.
Like choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt, the ingredients of great beer. And the Budweiser people list them on their label, the same way they brew them, with pride.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There's only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children and to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow.
No living creature suffers from such poor public relations as the snake. Oh, lately the shark is hated and feared, perhaps even more, but the shark, at least, deserves his reputation. Of course, things fell apart for the snake when he did the devil's job in the Garden of Eden. It's a pity to hear him constantly maligned, to have his name used to describe traitors, liars, and other scoundrels, especially those who insinuate their way into the victim's confidence. Well, we unfortunately cannot cure the ills of the world. We can only point out those which apply to our story. The snake of discontent has already begun to gnaw at the vitals of John Harrison Desmond, although John is about to deny it stoutly.
Good morning, Eloise.
Good morning.
A lovely morning?
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast. What shall I have for breakfast?
You may have anything you like.
What has Millicent prepared?
Nothing. She awaits your pleasure.
She awaits my pleasure? This almost sounds as if I'm a feudal lord about to exercise my droit de seigneur.
How about ham and eggs?
You know what that means, don't you, Eloise?
Oh, bacon.
The lord of the castle had free rein as far as all the women who lived on his estate were concerned.
Or pancakes.
I suppose a captain of industry today, who is, you might say, the equivalent in power to a feudal lord, could actually demand and, for the most part, receive...
But John, I just don't know how you can be so cheerful this morning.
Tell me, if you will, how this morning differs from all other mornings.
John.
Breakfast. Why don't I have a slice of ham, a rasher of bacon, and a single sausage, and one egg poached? There.
Oh, John.
Shall you communicate this intelligence to Millicent, or shall I?
John, it's a shame. It's a crime. It's unfair. It's wrong.
Darling, is something the matter?
Oh, John, how could they give the prize? The Parkhurst Award.
Oh, is that what's bothering you?
Well, it has to bother somebody. Elwood Downard is such a nincompoop.
Elwood Downard is an excellent sociologist.
But John, next to you, the man's an illiterate.
Now, darling, you must listen.
Please, none of your self-sacrificing nobility.
Happy is that man who, being content with his work, his wife...
Oh, no, please, no more of that dime store philosophy. The next thing you'll be doing, you'll be reciting, "Let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man."
I think that's an excellent attitude.
I give up. You are the victim of the most flagrant political maneuvering.
You know, I may also have pancakes.
Well, everybody knows it.
It's rather more calories than I'd originally decided to invest in breakfast, but, well, I can skip lunch.
And I give up.
All right, let me just say this. Elwood Downard is a man of substance and stature.
He's not in your class.
That's not true. He was in my class.
Oh, John,
I was
really
teaching at the university. And since he was my pupil, his receiving the award is a compliment to me.
You taught him everything he knows.
You know, this is a silly and fruitless argument.
Well, you're too good-natured.
Would you rather I was ill-natured?
I give up.
This time I hope you mean it.
And furthermore,
oh,
what's the use?
There. Now, have you finally subsided? Good. Darling, I know my worth. I know my value.
But...
No, you must listen to me.
But I know what you're going to say.
Fine. And there's no need for me to say it.
You're going to say, "I don't care for the opinions or the..."
Well, if we both know what I'm going to say, then...
It is enough for me that I do my work. History shall assign me my place.
Yes, that's about what I was going to say.
But by the time history gets around to you, you'll be dead.
Well, then it won't matter very much, will it?
The Parkhurst Award, it's even more prestigious than the Nobel Prize.
Yes, and I never won that one either, did I?
John, you have to get in there and fight.
Darling, I am not a pugilist.
I give up.
Please do, even if it's just for a little while.
Busy, John?
Spence, come on in.
Well, we fed it all into the computer. The data looks pretty good. Now, How far away are we from the report?
Well, no more than 6 weeks.
But we know the conclusions.
But it's obvious. We're going to advise the Emir that the basic economic effort of his country should now be devoted toward developing the fisheries.
I must say you've marshaled some brilliant arguments. Brilliant.
Spence, tell me something.
Sure. What?
Never mind.
Something bothering you, John?
Well, it's just... Well, you know the old saying, if you're so smart, why ain't you rich? Well, look how smart I am. Why ain't I rich?
Our sociological advisory institute isn't doing all that badly.
No, that's not the kind of rich I mean.
I don't follow you.
Rich. Rich in honors.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Let me put it to you this way. I've been missing out on the Nobel, and I should have made the Parkers this year.
What do you want me to tell you?
After all, I wrote the definitive work on...
John, what can I say? I never thought that...
You never thought what?
That these awards meant anything to you.
I'm only human.
But you always gave the impression that prizes and medals were never really important.
I have forgotten more than Elwood Donald will ever know.
Look. In the long run, what does it mean?
You can take that magnanimous attitude, Spence. After all, you have got a Parkhurst.
I'm also 10 years older than you, John, so you've got plenty of time.
No, I've been pigeonholed. I've been passed over too many times. It's the younger men who'll be considered from now on.
John, what does it matter?
What does it matter?
50 years from now, 10 years from now, next week, will it make any difference?
I am the top in my field.
Nobody who really knows would dispute that.
Then why have I been constantly overlooked? It simply isn't fair.
No one ever said the world or life itself is fair. And there are times when virtue must be content to be its own reward.
Oh, thank you. You're a great help.
I never would have dreamed you felt this way.
Now you know.
Tell me something. You're saying all this in confidence, I assume. You still want to maintain your public image as a modest, self-effacing...
Look, Spencer, I have had it up to here. I have to let off steam in front of somebody or I'll blow my top.
That's what wives are for.
Oh, not mine.
But I thought you and Eloise...
If I ever spoke this way in front of Eloise, do you know what she would say? She'd say, I told you so. And then do you know what I'd do? I would strangle her with my own two hands.
Well, you've got it bad.
What are you supposed to do in this world? How do you get recognition?
But John, you've got recognition.
Oh, you know the kind I mean.
I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but I just don't know.
Spencer, I want that Parkhurst Award. To me, it would be the culmination of my life's work.
You scare me, John. You sound as if you'd be willing to sell your soul for it.
I would. The problem is, I don't know who would want to buy it.
They say the devil deals in that commodity.
If there is such a thing as the devil and he, she, or it is listening, I am willing to make a deal, my soul for the Parkhurst.
What's supposed to happen now? A puff of smoke and a cloud of sulfur and a sudden materializing of Lucifer himself?
Yes, but obviously no such thing exists.
John, don't let this thing get to you.
Spence, it has gotten to me. I can't help it.
Mr. Strickland, we have two names for you. Dr. Peter Spencer and Dr. John Desmond.
And who are these gentlemen, Mrs. Poole?
Well, they run an organization called the Sociological Advisory Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's one of these extremely prestigious research centers and think tanks. They will make the recommendation that will decide the future direction of the economy of this small country that seems to be of such interest to you.
And do you have any ideas to the direction of the thinking?
Oh, yes. We have an agent in their data retrieval section. Yes, it seems clear at this point that they will advise the Emir to develop a fishing industry.
Oh, that's exactly what we were afraid of.
That's what you paid me to find out, and now you know.
We must find a way to convince the Institute to arrive at a different conclusion. My associates and I would like to know which member of the Institute will be instrumental in making the decision.
In order that you may do what?
In order that we may get him to change it.
I am familiar with your methods, Mr. Strickland. I don't think violence can serve your purpose.
Neither do I.
Bribery? Well, I am not sure you could buy either Dr. Spencer or Dr. Desmond with money.
Again, neither do I, but surely, Mrs. Poole, you, of all people, should be aware there are many ways to buy a man, and usually money is the least important.
What are you talking about?
John, be reasonable.
I hate his guts.
That's not your image.
I hate my image.
It's the one you've had all your life. It's too late to change now.
I refuse to go to a party that will honor Edward Downer.
You'll not only go, you'll give it. You'll be the host.
Oh, that'll be the day.
The day. The day will be a week from next Wednesday.
If you think that I...
He's your old student, and you're happy for him, and so you're holding this reception.
No, never.
Then count on this. You'll never get the Parkhurst.
You asked us to discover the kind of coinage one must use to bribe Dr. John Desmond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you can hear, we have inserted a recording machine in his office. Here, listen to this.
Then count on this. You'll never get the Parkhurst.
How will a cocktail party win me the Parkhurst?
It's politics. It's mingling. It's being seen. It's being gracious. Oh, come on, John. You want the Parkhurst. You want it more than anything in the world.
Well, have you heard enough, Mr. Strickland?
Parkhurst. The Parkhurst Award. It's actually as simple as that.
Excuse me, Mr. Strickland.
Hmm?
Are you saying that it is simple for your organization to obtain a Parkhurst Award?
I'm saying, Mrs. Poole, it's simple to promise.
Yes. Who? Well, does he have an appointment? No, I can't see anyone today. Besides, what is there that I could do for him? He says he was advised to call on me by Dr. Elwood Downard. Well, I suppose so. Send him in. Now, why would Downard send anyone to see me?
Dr. Desmond?
Yes, come in, please.
Thank you.
Have a chair. Now, sir, your name is Everett Strickland?
Correct.
What may I do for you?
For starters, do not advise the Emir of Rashal to develop a fishing industry.
What? Oh, now, see here.
I believe in getting to the heart of the matter.
And Elwood Downard sent you to me?
No. I don't know the gentleman. I used the name because I knew you would have to grant me an interview.
The interview is over.
Of course. Only one thing remains to be said, and then we may adjourn so that you will be able to meditate.
Get out before I throw you out.
We could have led up to this gradually over days or weeks or even months, but I believe in placing all the cards on the table immediately. If you care to go along, we're prepared to pay you handsomely.
Oh, now, you listen to me. I don't know who you are or what your game is, but if you think you can bribe me to betray a client...
I don't think I can bribe you. I know I can.
There isn't enough money in the world.
I wouldn't give you a single penny. I'd give you what you want more than anything else.
Will you be good enough to get out?
I offer you the Parkhurst Award. Now, do you still want me to get out?
Man of few words, this Mr. Everett Strickland, but every one carefully chosen, like a precious stone. And further, like a precious stone, each is highly polished. I offer you the Parkhurst Award. Six words that shine like six gems. And does Dr. Desmond buy? You should know by now that you don't find out things like that until we arrive at the second act. in just a few moments.
Cold medicines. Choose. The green liquid you take every 4 hours when confined to home or at bedtime. That's 4 hours relief per dose. Or give your cold a contact. Contact's different. Just one capsule works up to 12 hours. All through the day and all through the night. Contact doesn't have ingredients for pain and cough like the liquid. And just one contact gives you as long relief from sneezing, drips, and congestion as 3 doses of the liquid. The tiny time pills do it. Now, for all day and all night relief, what do you choose? Stay home with your cold or take contact?
Give your cold to contact if
you're cold. Use only as directed.
To contact if you're cold.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is He whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
What are the basic motivating forces in human beings? One great authority says sex. Another says hunger. A third says territory. Well, from all this, we are assured of one thing. There are different forces for different folks. At this time and in this place, what motivates John Desmond is what Shakespeare would call the bauble reputation.
Mr. Strickland, I don't know what your game is, but...
I'm willing to give in order to get.
Why should you be concerned with our dealings with the Emirate of Rashal?
I represent a group that has worldwide interests, Dr. Desmond.
What we are talking about is completely out of the question.
Why?
I have my reputation to consider.
Your reputation is very much the subject of this discussion. It would certainly be enhanced by a Parkhurst award.
I have heard enough, more than enough.
That's absolutely true. You have heard enough for one day. Now you must sleep on it.
Mr. Strickland, if you do not leave my office immediately, I shall have one of our security people toss you out.
Oh, that won't be necessary. I'm going. You need time now. Time to digest what I've told you.
Oh, spare me any further pathetic attempts to talk me into it.
No need for me to do that. In the end, you'll talk yourself into it.
This party should have been for you, Jock.
Darling, why don't you have a canopy and a drink and just enjoy yourself?
That speech of yours, that eulogy to that nitwit Woody Downward.
His name is Downward.
Oh, Downward, I have a husband who's content to play second fiddle to his inferiors. Oh, here comes the great man now. No doubt he intends to patronize you. I'm going to get lost in the crowd.
Eloise. Oh, well.
John?
Oh, yes, Elwood.
Thank you for this very cordial affair.
It was my pleasure, Elwood.
There's a plan afoot to establish a series of seminars to be held in Washington, the Elwood Downard Research Series. It would be attended by top people in government and education.
Ah, the Elwood Downard Research Series. Mm-hmm.
Of course, my name guarantees the success. Project?
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
I'm assembling a panel to run the thing, and I may have an opening for you.
An opening?
You could do yourself a lot of good, John. Actually, being on my faculty would be quite a boost for you.
Yes, yes, it would.
It'll prove that you're back in the mainstream.
I never thought that I'd left it.
Well, of course not, John. It's just that there seems to be an impression that, well, you think about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Elwood. Yes. Yes, I'll think about it.
What was I thinking of the whole evening? I'll tell you.
I don't believe I asked you, Eloise, dear.
You should have been the guest of honor at that party. You should have been the Parkhurst medalist. Why are we stopping here?
Because I have something vital to tell you.
What's that?
Shut up.
John.
I don't know any other way to put it. I don't want to hear another word about Elwood Downard or Parkhurst prizes.
But John, darling, I'm only trying to...
I know, you're only trying to inspire me.
Well, is that bad?
In this case, it can lead to a catastrophe.
John.
You want me to have recognition, fame.
Well, is that so terrible?
These things are not to be, and they're not for me.
I won't have you talk that way.
Well, I must. Do you understand? I must.
You have no right to give up.
Eloise, do not weaken my resolve.
What resolve?
I am willing to accept the hand that has been dealt to me. Please don't make me dissatisfied.
But I'm only trying to...
You keep saying that you're only trying. And I must tell you to stop. Just stop right now, right here. Never, Eloise, never say another word to me about winning an award.
But I don't understand.
Let's just leave it at that. Don't push me. I'm having a hard enough time as it is.
John... What do you mean you're having a hard time?
Eloise, the discussion is over. For good.
Ah, good morning, Dr. Desmond.
What? What are you doing here?
Well, this is a public bar.
If you'll excuse me.
I thought we might walk a little ways together, Dr. Desmond.
There is nothing that you and I can do together, Mr. Strickland.
So... You're thinking it over.
Thinking what over?
My little proposition. That's why you've come out here, to commune with nature, to get away from it all, to clarify your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, why do you wish to change our recommendation?
Because it makes a great deal of sense.
Well, in that case, I would think that the
government... You see, we want the present government to fall.
Why?
So that friends of ours might take power.
Who are these friends?
Is that important? All that matters is the Parkhurst Award. And the committee is even now considering next year's medalist.
I see. Well, assuming, for the sake of argument...
Yes?
What is it that I could suggest in all practicality?
Why, the practical solution is the obvious one. A program of agriculture. Cultivation of wheat.
Well, it may be obvious, but in the long run, it cannot solve the problems of self-sufficiency.
Your solution to use the offshore waters and the inland lakes is an inspiration, but it's premature.
Oh, but still, it's the only real hope for the salvation of the country.
Would you like to win the Parkhurst?
Oh, I would never consider such a bargain. Never. But, well, listen. I mean, assuming for the sake of argument, just suppose. How could you guarantee that...
There are five members of the selection committee. We control three of them, the majority.
What do you mean, control?
Well, let us say we are aware of certain intimate details in their lives which could cause each of them no end of embarrassment.
Ah, you could blackmail them.
In a word, yes.
Oh, well, I could never consent to such a thing as...
You need that award, Dr. Desmond. Unless, of course, you want to be patronized by Elwood Downard... for the rest of your life. It's a rather cruel world. Ability simply isn't enough. The lily has to be gilded. Well, it's your decision.
Oh, now, listen, not that I could even consider such a thing, but how could I be sure?
An extremely important question. We will deposit the sum of $1 million into your account at the bank of your choosing. If we are unable... to deliver the prize, the money becomes yours. Now, surely we don't intend to lose that kind of money.
And you can guarantee that prize?
We know for a fact that Silas Halverson, one of the committee members,
had an unfortunate encounter with a young lady during his youth. That Professor Emery Winston...
No, please, I don't want to know about it.
Well, Doctor, what is your answer?
We may be back to ground zero on this project, Spencer. We may have to shift the entire direction of our recommendation.
Why?
Well, because other factors have suddenly... Well, I don't believe that we can...
What are you trying to tell me?
You know, we'd better go the agriculture route. It's a safer recommendation.
We want Engage to look for safety, but for a viable economic system.
No, we have no assurance that we can successfully stock those waters with fish.
But fisheries not only solves the employment problem, it also assures the people of a protean diet.
Yeah, such a program cannot be implemented for many years.
Why?
Well, because there's a worldwide pollution problem. Until an international effort is made to clean up the seas.
But agriculture. John, so much of their land is desert.
Yes. Well, we'll propose an irrigation system. I'll have the top agricultural authority set to devise...
No.
What do you mean, no?
This is exactly where we were a year ago. You were the one who came up with a plan that completely demolished the entire agricultural concept.
I have had a chance to allow it to simmer.
It's the real way to go. Let agriculture develop slowly, but let the major expenditure of money go toward the creation of a fishing industry.
It won't work.
You're serious?
Of course.
Okay. Now tell me the truth. What's behind this change of heart?
A reevaluation of all the pertinent
data. My foot. Who got to you, John?
Oh, look, I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm afraid you do.
I won't even dignify that accusation with an answer.
I'm aware of the political cross currents in that country.
I am completely above the political implications.
The oil is disappearing. The Emir has to invest in a new kind of economy. There are those who insist on agriculture.
And they happen to be right.
That's not true, and you know it.
Now, why would I be influenced by anything other than my professional judgment?
I don't know. You tell me.
Spence, I thought it over, and I honestly believe
that... Do you? Well, I prefer your original solution, your daring, innovative solution.
But it's a...
And as the senior partner here, I have final say.
Even if I'm convinced...
John, we owe our client the truth. And the report we will ultimately deliver is the one that is concerned with the truth.
You cannot pull rank on me, Spencer.
Don't force my hand, John.
I'll submit an independent set of conclusions to the Emir.
Then in that case, I'll pull more than rank. I'll pull prestige. I'll flaunt my Parkhurst Award. You don't have one, remember? And I'll tell you what else I'll do. I'll hire Elwood Downard to put his name on the report. Another Parkhurst medalist.
You couldn't do a thing like that.
Don't force me. And, of course, Donald will get all the credit for the fisheries idea. Anyone who may have thought he lucked into the prize before will now admit he's a genuine genius.
But, Spencer, I am sincerely convinced...
No, you're not. That... Somebody got to you. Who and how, I don't want to know. But I'll save you in spite of yourself.
I thought we had a deal.
Yes. So did I.
So what's the problem?
It's not a what. It's a who.
Yes? Tell me about him.
My associate.
Yes?
Well, he won't change the report.
Why not?
He likes the original concept better.
Well, can't you convince him?
No.
You're sure?
Dr. Spencer is a very stubborn man. When he makes up his mind, nothing can change it. So, I'm afraid our deal is off.
Oh, never say die. You never tell what can happen tomorrow.
Where Dr. Spencer's concerned, I can.
I think I'd like to have a little talk with him.
Oh, no. You don't know Dr. Spencer.
And you don't know how I talk.
How does he talk? So far, he always seems to have what everybody wants. He has no trouble selling his programs. A most persuasive man is this Mr. Everett Strickland. But what has he to offer Dr. Spencer? We shall find out when I return in just a few moments with Act Three.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment and a promise to keep brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, and with a Beechwood-aged taste that speaks for itself. Hear it talking? Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hello there. This is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. Now, in addition to our other services, our special effort named Project Research has been established to help deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. Won't you join me and throw your knockout punch? You'll be getting on a winning team. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Once again, this is Tony Marvin saying thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
Every man, they say, has his price. The tag on Dr. Desmond has already been displayed. It is the prestigious Parkhurst Award. Now it has become necessary to buy Dr. Spencer. How much does he go for in the marketplace?
Well, Mrs. Poole, what can you tell me?
Nothing, I'm afraid.
I can't believe that.
Oh, why not?
Every man has an Achilles heel. He has to be vulnerable somewhere.
Ordinarily, I would agree. But Dr. Spencer is evidently the exception to prove the rule.
What does he want?
He's satisfied with what he has.
What does he want to keep hidden?
I tell you, he has absolutely no vulnerability.
Then perhaps another method of handling the doctor is indicated.
I'm sure of it.
I shall return your guarantee, Mr. Strickland.
Why?
Because I cannot keep my part of the bargain.
Why not?
Dr. Spencer's mind is made up.
That's true.
He has me effectively blocked from presenting a different report.
That's true, too.
Well, then, what are you saying?
I'm saying that we shall endeavor to unblock the good doctor.
How?
How do you think?
Well, I haven't the faintest idea.
Oh, yes, you do. You foresaw this moment from the split second you decided to accept my offer.
Well, which moment?
The moment in which you would know that Spencer has to be killed.
Oh, no.
Did you actually think Spencer would allow a 180-degree turnaround?
I had every confidence in my ability to convince him.
Play with the truth if you will, Dr. Desmond. Lie to yourself if you must. Do whatever is necessary to placate your conscience. But please, respect my intelligence.
Well, I won't stand for murder.
You will eventually.
The deal is definitely off.
You'll talk yourself into it. Eventually.
Oh, no, no, never.
You may have lost your freedom of operation.
I don't understand.
You may have to kill Spencer.
I may have to kill him. Are you mad?
In self-defense.
I can't believe that I'm having this conversation. Spencer isn't threatening my life.
In a very real sense, he is. Listen to this tape.
What's behind this change of heart?
Well, that's Spencer.
Where did you...
It's a tape of a conversation you held with Dr. Spencer in your office.
How did you ever get that?
We have your entire conversation. But listen to this very illuminating line.
Somebody got to you, John. Who and how, I do not wish to know. But I'll save you in spite of yourself.
Now, consider the implications of that statement. Dr. Spencer questions your integrity. He's convinced you've been bought off.
He's convinced of no such thing.
If you like to whistle in the dark, go ahead. But the partnership of Spencer and Desmond is coming to an end. And you know it. And soon everyone will know that Spencer threw you out.
That's not true. It's...
Now or later, Dr. Desmond?
Now or later what?
When do you intend to accept reality and see what it is that you must do?
Oh, I could never agree to murder, to the killing of anyone.
Go ahead. Tell yourself.
For any reason.
That's a noble sentiment.
At any time.
Once again, take a while, as long as you need, to talk yourself into it.
How's that final chapter of the report coming, John?
Oh, well, I'm working on it.
I'm sorry. We had those words.
Well, Spencer, it was just a review of the facts of life.
What facts?
Oh, there's an old Civil War saying, them as has gets.
Meaning what?
Meaning it's not what's in the brain, it's decorations on the chest.
I see.
The fact is that I know more than you and Downard put together. But what do brains have to do with it? You have the credentials, and that's enough to put me in my place.
I never realized that credit, honors, prestige mean so much to you.
You mean you never thought that I was human? Hmm?
I'm sorry, John.
So am I, Spence. So am I. How sorry, you'll never know.
Well, Dr. Desmond?
Mr. Strickland,
Yes,
I... Well, you see, I've decided to go ahead.
Ah. See how simple it is. The first decision is always the toughest. After that, everything just falls into place.
Oh, yes. I suppose if you want to get anywhere, you've got to bite and claw and kick.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
And Spence is an old man, anyway.
So he goes a few years earlier. And this way, his departure can do you some real good.
His departure?
We've been studying Dr. Spencer's habits. He likes to spend his weekends in his cabin up in the mountains.
The cabin?
Yes. He likes to detach himself from the world and meditate. And just be his own man for a few days. Oh, but why do I tell you these things?
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, nothing involved, nothing complicated. Our amateurs attempt highly complex plans, which then fall apart from their own weight.
But, I mean, what are you going to do?
A freelance agent will be dispatched to the location. He will shoot Spencer.
Oh,
well, that's quite all right. Be shocked, be horrified. Show all the human reactions. It's expected of you.
Yes, but
the place is miles from any human habitation. A good doctor requires solitude. And so a prowler robbed him and killed him.
But that's...
That's an eminently logical event. The police will accept it without question. And then control of the Institute passes into your hands. And we have no more problems.
Mr. Strickland, how will this operative be sure that it's Spencer?
He will be sent to the cabin with orders to shoot the occupant. Is there... Well, has there ever been another occupant?
Oh, no.
And the event is scheduled for Saturday evening at 7. Immediately before twilight.
Oh, no, listen, I'm...
Yes,
I... Nothing. Eloise, what time is it?
3:00. John, what's the trouble?
Oh, nothing.
I don't know why you just want to sit indoors on such a glorious Saturday afternoon.
Well, I just feel like sitting indoors. Is there a law against it?
Oh, excuse me.
What time is it?
I just told you.
Well, tell me again.
It's almost a minute after 3. Chump, please tell me what's wrong. Darling, something is wrong.
No, it'll wear off after a while.
What will?
Oh, forget it.
Well, this is no way to have an intelligent conversation.
Who says we have to have an intelligent conversation? Who says we have to have any kind of a conversation?
Well, excuse me.
What time is it?
1.5 minutes after 3. Do you, you want some coffee, a tea, a drink? John, I'm afraid I'll have to break a confidence.
Eloise, I don't feel like a conversation just now.
And I'm going to do it because I know what's eating away at you.
You do?
Yes. The lack of recognition.
Oh, please, I just don't have the heart.
And I'm going to tell you something. But look, honey, next Saturday you must pretend to be surprised. They'll be here. And it'll be a kind of a testimonial.
Eloise, I don't feel
Spencer
like...
Spencer and Elwood Downard.
Elwood Downard here? Why?
Your friends all got together. They felt the rest of the world should know what was no secret among your colleagues. That you are really the trailblazer. The pathfinder.
What are you talking about?
So, releases have already been prepared for the press. And everybody will recount how much he owes you. In other words, to put it this way, they will all admit... You are Big Daddy.
Oh, I don't believe
that. And for some reason, you've been overlooked. And that bothers people like Downard and Dr. Spencer. And they want to set the record straight. That's what next Saturday night's affair is going to be all about.
That isn't so. You know how Elwood patronized me at the dinner we gave for him.
Well, he called me later. He apologized. He said he didn't realize it could be interpreted that way. All he wanted to do was help call attention to
you. Good Lord. Oh, good Lord. What time is it?
What's now 3:05.
Spencer, did he leave for the cabin yet?
John, I don't understand. What are you doing? Who are you calling?
He has got to be home. He just has got to be home. Oh, Spencer. Spencer, answer it, Spencer. Please be home.
John.
Answer it.
John, you're not well. I know it.
He isn't home.
Of course he isn't home. You know perfectly well he's never home on Saturday afternoon.
I have to talk to him.
But call him in the country.
How can I call him in the country? He has no telephone.
John, if you spill the beans about next Saturday night, I'll never forgive you as long as I live.
Now, listen, I'll have to go up there. I'll just have to go up there.
Where?
It's the only thing that I can do now. I can't do anything else.
Stop. So where are you going? John!
Oh, Spence. Spence, are you in there? Spence! Oh, good Lord, am I too late? Spence. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm in time. He's not here yet. What I better do is go back along the road and stop him from coming up here.
Turn around, Dr. Spencer.
Oh, no, wait. I'm not Dr. Spencer.
Quit thinking, Pag. You see the gun on my hand, so naturally you're going to deny your old Doc Spencer, but it's no good. I was told you'd be up here.
Now, look, I can explain.
Nobody has to explain nothing.
No.
You know what I am? I'm an assassin.
But you're making a mistake.
I could have shot you in the back just before.
Look, try to understand what I'm saying.
Ask me why I didn't shoot you in the back. I'll tell you. It's because a man should make his peace.
No, please.
With whoever, whatever he believes in, just before he goes.
No.
Now, you got 1 minute.
No, please.
It's the tradition of the...
But I tell you that I am not...
Is that how you want to spend the last minute you got in the world?
You're making a mistake.
All right, don't look at the gun. No. Just close your eyes. I'm very good.
Oh, please.
I'm very professional. You won't feel a thing. You won't know a thing.
Hit the ground! John! I'm not dead. Spence!
This man, who? I'm afraid he's dead. But he was going to kill you.
Oh, Spence.
The first prowler, the first robber we've ever had out here. I'm afraid to look closely. He's dead, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he's dead, Spence.
Lucky I was out hunting and I had my rifle.
Oh, Spence. Can you ever forgive me?
Forgive you for what?
Well, you see... You see... I had a moment. A very bad moment. But it will never happen to me again. No. Never again.
He did. And it didn't. And the following year, the committee nominated him for the Parkhurst Award. And when he accepted it, he made a brilliant speech to the effect that the world's greatest honors are the ones a man receives from his colleagues. I shall return shortly.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then...
Talk to the good hands people.
First question. Does your present major medical benefit keep on paying no matter how expensive the accident or illness becomes? If not...
Talk to the good hands people.
Is your present plan designed to pay up to 95% of hospital expenses? If not...
Talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
It's a thin veneer, this coating we have of civilization. And sometimes it can be rubbed off quite suddenly. We want something very badly. And before we know it, one thing will lead to another, and there we are. Thinking the unthinkable. And performing the impossible. Well, those are two good words to describe our doings here 7 times each week. The unthinkable and the impossible. Join the fun. Our cast included Norman Rose, E.V. Juster, Roger DeCoven, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Aren't you going to open your box?
Oh, what for? Nobody to write to me. Even Mom and Dad don't know my address yet.
You'd better open it. Looks like there's something there.
Oh, all right. Hey, there is something here. A letter.
Probably from some local store marked resident.
No, it's addressed to me. My married name. Who on earth could...
What is it, honey?
I can't. Listen, Hank, listen to this. My poor, bereaved Mrs. Meredith. No words of mine can adequately express my grief at your deep sorrow. I would hesitate to intrude, except that it is at the request of your own dear husband. He spoke to me last night from beyond the veil and begged me to reach you immediately and tell you that he is calling for you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN Portland, Music Radio 97, the time, 12 midnight.
CBS News. To deregulate or continue regulation of natural gas prices, that is the question to be debated today in the House of Representatives.
Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A freshman Democrat from Texas, Representative Bob Krueger, is leading the efforts on the floor for deregulation. He's enlisted a number of supporters from non-producing states for today's debate, a tactic designed to show that not only producing state congressmen see a need for deregulation. Krueger cites as the main argument for deregulation the belief it will increase prices enough to spur additional exploration and drilling for new natural gas.
Of the dollar that the consumer pays, on average only 20 to 25 cents goes to the producer. The rest all goes for the distribution and transportation costs. What the producer of natural gas receives is about the same portion as the American farmer gets out of the price of a loaf of bread when the farmer sells his wheat. It's a very small portion, but it is that essential portion for getting new production, and that's why it's a saving to the consumer.
Krueger says he expects to win today's fight for deregulation. He'll have to convince the House. Opponents are wrong when they argue that lifting price controls will not increase the supply of gas to the American consumer, but will raise consumer prices substantially. Home heating oil prices reportedly are coming down nationwide despite cold weather and comparatively low supplies. Herb Hugo, senior editor of Platts Oilgram, a major industry publication, says it almost defies analysis, noting, usually oil prices come down when you see the first robin of spring. Gasoline prices, too, have come down on the average about a penny a gallon since the first of the year. And Hugo says that's not surprising. That's definitely competition, the result of heavy supplies and less demand. CBS News continues following this message.
Hello, this is Leonard Nimoy. 5,000 years ago, a wise Egyptian named Imhotep was the first to recognize the connection between the pulse and the beat of the heart. 300 years ago, a learned English physician, William Harvey, discovered that the blood circulates in the human body in a closed system. Today, doctors substitute artificial valves for diseased ones. Tomorrow, artificial hearts, the prevention of stroke, and heart attack. Impossible? It can happen because of you. Your generous support of your Heart Association in the past has made possible the kind of research that has resulted in many of the miracles we almost take for granted today. Your further contributions to the Heart Fund will help reduce the tragic toll of death and disability caused by our nation's number one killer. So keep giving and give generously. Remember, heart disease and blood vessel disease can be conquered, but only you can make it happen. Thank you.
President Ford's new advisor, Rogers Morton, will be sworn in today to a $44,600 a year White House post. Contending it's hypocritical to try to separate government from politics, Morton says he intends to work at both and provide a new link between the White House and the Ford campaign. Yesterday, Elliot Richardson was sworn in as the new Secretary of Commerce. He's no stranger to high government circles, as we hear in this report from CBS News White House correspondent Phil Jones.
This is Richardson's fourth cabinet appointment. In the Nixon administration, he served as Secretary of HEW and Defense and as Attorney General. He resigned as Attorney General over Mr. Nixon's firing of Watergate Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. He was sworn in as Commerce Secretary, his first cabinet post in the Ford administration.
Nothing would make me happier than to be able to serve as your Secretary of Commerce until January 20, 1981, thus putting finally to rest the notion that I can't hold a job.
What Richardson didn't mention was the possibility of serving in still another position as Mr. Ford's vice presidential running mate in this year's presidential election. Phil Jones, CBS News at the White House.
Secretary of State Kissinger last night denied that U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Daniel Moynihan resigned because of lack of State Department support. Speaking in Los Angeles, Kissinger said Moynihan carried out Ford administration policies and had full support. Now this.
Lifestyle 1776. If there's anything as American as apple pie, it may be pumpkin pie. That Native American vegetable was cultivated as a highlight of a harvest. I'm Mike Wallace, CBS News. Farming, city life, politics, entertainment, fashion, music, it's all Lifestyle 1776. That's our next bicentennial weekend special from CBS News, Saturday and Sunday, February 14th and 15th, here on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, you kids. You go play somewhere else now.
Who am I kidding? Where are those kids going to find a place to stay out of trouble around here?
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
It was one of those moments of unpleasant deja vu for Mike Ephraim as he stared at a pistol pointed at him by a robber in his San Francisco market. Ephraim recognized the gun as one he used to own. He told police it had been taken from him in an October 18th holdup that netted the robber $900. This time, the bandit got $2,000. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
It's 6 minutes after 12 midnight on Tuesday, February 3rd. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.